Part of it will be just discussing some of the project management and the tools for developing the interoperability hubs. And then the second part will be talking about where we're going with this product and the future of it. So I'd like to invite Gautam up now to kind of kick things off for us and talk a little bit about the project start.
Well, good afternoon. We'll like to just keep this a bit informal. We do want to cover regarding the FLISA project. It's actually an ERA-funded project. It's a public health lab interoperability solutions and solution architecture. It takes CDC to come up with a title like that, I've noticed, but we had to come up with a title. So regarding the presentation today, what we'd like to talk through is really how this project started and how it fits into the portfolio of laboratory projects and some of the use cases that this pilot, and that's really what it is. It's a pilot project with an open architecture that we'll talk about and some of the future plans. We'd be happy to take questions. I think we've got smaller group here, so we'd be happy to take questions as we go forward. The project itself is part of the Recovery Act. It's an ERA-funded project. It's relating to interoperability between clinical and public health, and within it, there were a couple of areas related to meaningful use. So the project actually started in 2008 and 2009, and the contract was awarded competitively to SAIC in 2010, and it is funded through February of 2012. And our thoughts here are to use our laboratory that we have, and some of you might have attended some presentations with Tom Savelle or Brian Lee during this conference, and I believe they have a few more Tuesday and Wednesday regarding the topic. So the idea is to take this solution and put it into an open architecture or the lab such that some of our partners that we'll talk about would be interacting with it. This particular project has three areas. It's related to the meaningful use priorities for stage one. There are three areas we have. One related to laboratory reporting, secondly for syndromic surveillance, and thirdly for vaccination or immunization. Those are the three domains that we're focusing on, and we'll talk about it when we go over the use cases in a little more detail. In addition, we are using some standards that do exist, and we'll briefly touch upon the standards. We'd be happy to talk about those in more detail if you wish regarding the architecture, but these are some of the standards that exist. Regarding the laboratory reporting or electronic test order and result reporting, ETOR for short, during the course of the project, we actually worked with our partners at APHL and NOID, Office of Infectious Diseases, to come up with a 2-6 focused salmonella message for result reporting, so that was done during this project, is creating the guide. I think we've touched upon a few of these areas, but in terms of FLISA in general, it's a broader project. We will be talking about the FLISA hub in this presentation. We have another element of the project, more dealing with the infrastructure at CDC to connect the LIMS systems with public health labs external to CDC. That's part of the ETOR Enterprise Services Bus project. But in terms of the FLISA hub, it is an open architecture. We'll talk about that shortly. So we are working with some licensing to, with Apache or an MIT license to promote really an attribution type model for the software. And also we have leveraged existing CDC products that Mike will talk about shortly. So some of the products that a few of you might have interacted with, we've actually ported them over to an open architecture as part of the lab. Just some general details about the project. It is jointly done with SAIC. And we have another partner with HealthBridge, a health information exchange in Ohio. And there's another part of the project which we'll talk about as we go forward. We're working with Hamilton County and Cincinnati and deploying some of these pilots. We are really in the bottom section of the activities. We're launching it in the CDC portal, which we'll talk about shortly, where you can interact with this product and see what's available. And we plan on launching it in the lab in the next few months. So Mike's going to go over some of the use cases with you.
We mentioned, Gato mentioned the participation we had from a large HIE in the Cincinnati area, HealthBridge. And I don't know if anybody from HealthBridge is here today. But again, their involvement has been with some of the use case development, not only reviewing that, but also giving some guidance as far as some messaging exchange and a review of the overall architecture. They are supporting 28 hospitals in their area, and so they have a lot of experience with some of the integration tools that we also chose for the solution. They assisted in some of the demonstration scenarios as far as providing data and also looking at the messaging flows. So, and as Gautam said, then we will we hope to continue the evolution of the project by deploying the solution at their site. Background of HealthBridge, a large HIE and very successful in operations since 1997. They also have a sustainable model with 97% of the revenue from their business model. And they're delivering a large amount of payloads, 3 million messages per month, and EMR feeds 27 different vendors and 60 versions of messaging that they're supporting. So this is just a sample, some of their coverage area. They also extend and are partnered with some other HIEs in the area. So we felt they were a good partner. They cross state boundaries and some of the use cases. We've discussed handling data as patients move across some of the state areas and between local health jurisdictions. I'd like to talk a little bit about the products and some of the standards that we have been involved for the solution. And this is our a revised scope diagram for the hub. It's a fairly busy, but around the perimeter we have our collaboration or our clinical partners. We were working with public health labs, hospitals, physician offices, immunization registries. So we felt that was our target clinical audience. And then the Felisa hub is in the center, providing translation, message transformation, and then routing services. A couple of the areas that we did move out of scope with the project involved registry repository support, and also then some of the connect communication that we de-scoped in favor of using some different transport messaging. So. And this is a stack overview of our solution and kind of provides a little bit of a deeper dive into the products that we're using. Again, at the hub of this is the Felisa hub services, which are the components that have been developed for this project. So we used web services for the messaging subscription service. In addition, developed some custom web services for organizational directory routing, as well as some structural validation web services that we developed with HAPI. So working top down, we've supported two different messaging systems within the product. Right now we have a direct client set up, and we also have a web service client. So again, the solution is transport agnostic, and different messaging solutions for inbound and outbound can be used. That transport is then MIRTH is our integration tool set, and we use that to also connect with web services from JBoss to the other products. The light products in green here are some of the repurposed things. So we use message subscription services. VADS Lite is being used for vocabulary validation and transformation. And then we also use the component from the BioSense project called the Linker, which allows us to anonymize messages for surveillance and have a re-identification in the event of a public health emergency. And within this slide, we've got a little more detail on each of those particular products. We talked a little bit about MIRTH as being kind of that hub of our open source validation and transformation. But the Linker, again, is we have an HTTP interface with that, and that's a product that's been repurposed from BioSense. Code translation services, where you could, and we have demonstrated using taking local codes and transforming those into standards. So this could, although our project focuses on standard to standard transformation, you could also use local to standard. Validation services, again, leverages the VADS project products. And then our composing routing service is a custom component that allows us to, looking at message type and trigger events and HL7 versions, send the right message, both validate inbound and then send the right format outbound. Continuing on, we have a couple of other services that the Felissa Hub provides. We have email notification as part of our notifiable disease conditions, kind of creating a bidirectional or closing the loop on those type of messages. We send an email notification back to the organization. We've got some runtime translation services that actually help transform messages between different HL7 versions. And then we talked a little bit about the subscription services is the where the logic for the notifiable disease conditions is retained. And again, HAPI is profiles are stored and used for structural validation of incoming messages before processing. So a little bit to go over some of the use cases that we supported. We came up with 5 use cases, and this is a little bit detailed, but the first one, overall we wanted to make sure that we could communicate between 2 different hubs. So we actually set up 2 separate instances of the hub, and we had then different services set up on each of those. So starting out on the left, we had our clinical care stakeholder messages came in. In this case, for the notifiable lab results, we took messages in a 231 or a 251 format of HL7. And those were routed through HealthBridge and then passed to the Felissa Hub. And this was our first iteration of the hub. The hub did the transformation, sent that on through either web services or direct onto our second hub, which was acting as a state or local public health department. So in this case, we looked at a large group of lab messages. We're looking for specific LOINC and SNOMED codes or LOINC and numeric results or textual results, depending on what was set up in the subscription service. And if it met the criteria, triggered a notifiable disease condition, sent that message on to the state local hub, and then also generated the email notice, which would could be used to, was routed back to the organization, and that would start then potentially the case reporting process. Again, we looked at a small number of disease cases. We chose hepatitis C, influenza, and salmonellosis for our notifiable conditions, but you could take the CSTE files and load the broader scale of notifiable conditions using this product. So, use case number 2 involved a clinical care stakeholder sending information to a public health laboratory. and then receiving results back. So this, we've actually got two parts to it. The first is initiating the order. We again followed the emerging standard, the 2.6 that is being developed, was routed through HealthBridge and to the interoperability hub. Again, we're receiving patient demographics from the PID and PV1 segments, and that is then sent on to Hub 2. And with this particular use case, we did provide an acknowledgement back. So the second hub sends the ACK message back in the 2.6 format. And then closing the loop on this one, our use case also involved, once that message was received, the acknowledgement sent, we did send back the results from Hub 2 back to Hub 1. And again, we used some of the message control identifiers to identify that message back to the originating clinical care stakeholder. So, use case three involved sending data from a public health lab to another public health lab, both test order and results. So again, our use case was developed with if there's a capacity overload situation or testing availability situation at a public health lab, this was something that could be used to divert specimens and continue to perform work. So very similar to the last use case in that we were using the HL7 2.6 OML messages, and with the acknowledgement then coming back from Hub 2 and results being sent from Hub 2 back to the first hub. And again, this could be between two hubs or it could be a different receiver system. So again, for our instance, it was easier to demonstrate between hub to hub. Use case four involved sending unsolicited messages for syndromic surveillance. In this case, we're dealing with ADT data, and this is where we invoke some of the biosense or the anonymization and linker capabilities. So data coming from our stakeholder was sent in a 251 format, and within the hub, we looked at a variety of ADT messages, went ahead and anonymize those by removing patient identifiers and some of the other patient information, truncating the patient birth date. That information then we do provide as anonymized patient identifiers, and that's stored in this in the linker database. And there is a real-time search capability within there with a web portal to re-identify that patient if need be. And that's sent on then through the Felissa hub, through the transport mechanism of favor to the public health hub. Again, hub sends all of the anonymized data, and ideally there may be some filtering, and we were following the ISDS standards for the emerging syndromic surveillance data on this particular use case. Our last use case involved developing unsolicited vaccination messages. Again, we're using the VXU 2.5.1 messages, and we chose three or four different vaccines to send across. We have sample messages for. So our clinical care stakeholder publishes any vaccination information. It's gathered up by HealthBridge, sent in a 251 to the hub. Hub goes ahead, validates message structure, sends that out then in a 251, and does some vocab mapping to map those to the proper vocabulary for the immunizations. And at this point, talk a little bit about emerging plans. I'll turn it back over to Gautam.
Thanks, Mike. So in terms of some of the next steps we have for the FLISA Open Source Hub, I think Mike touched upon a few areas. One is to launch the portal, which is really an online community to access the software. And we want to use the portal as a distribution channel for this product. There's another area that, again, Mike touched upon. One of the use cases, the public health lab to public health lab flow. We have a project, and I'm noticing some people in the audience here who work on our FLIP project, and we have another product that we deal with from CDC's perspective to do really a hub model for this use case. And we're planning on actually having seen the interest. They've actually, it's with APHL, it's the FLIP project. So of seeing this product as the evolution of the hub architecture. In terms of the product itself, the portal is an area that where we will be spending more time on deploying the product. Additionally, another big area for us going forward is the work with HealthBridge. And we've had preliminary discussions with Hamilton County, where Cincinnati is, and also the Ohio Health Department. And I don't know if there's anybody in the audience from those organizations. But we have had some discussions with them, and it looks quite favorable about deploying this hub in a limited production setting later this fall. So really, this project, it's a pilot, but we're trying different emerging technologies in it, and we want to use an open architecture from a couple of vantage points, really for sustainability of a project with challenging budgets going forward. We want to look at launching a portal community. We're not clear how successful it'll be, but we are going to foray in that space. Next, I think with APHL, we will be spending more time with them, looking at the hub architecture, and also with HealthBridge going forward. And we've had some discussions with other health information exchanges, and I think it's another area for us to go forward in from a delivery standpoint. That's really it for our presentation. There is a link once the presentation's uploaded. This is the main link for the CDC's public health, open source laboratory. That, again, there's other presentations during this conference that covers PHI research. Within that portal, the site that we're talking about, the FLISA hub project, there will be a portal there that's getting launched. And within it, we're planning on having a couple of vantage points. One would be the use cases that Mike went over. It's going to be more of a demonstration area that you can look at the product functionality. And if you want to do anything further, we're going to have more of a communication area with Wiki Spaces to talk about some other functionality that you would like added. If there are those of you who would like to participate deeper, we will have a portal for the software itself. And again, it would be running under CDC's Open Laboratory. So that's our approach with deploying this product going forward. And there are actually some live demonstrations if you would like to see more at the SAIC booth during this conference. And you can check with Mike or Paul, who's sitting here, main architect for the project, where we can show you in a little more in detail about the FLISA hub. So thank you.